Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Excited to welcome to our program today author Nick Kelman. He's the author of a fascinating book that takes us not only to the journey of an individual we get to know as Android Zero or Zach. The book is called How to Pass as Human, and I think we as humans can learn a lot from this book. We're going to talk to Nick not only about the journey of bringing this book to life, but how he's been able to really combine a lot of different things. For one thing, a lot of wit, also a great story about Zach, and some great illustrations as well. If you all are just finding out about the book, we'll tell you all a little bit later how you can get it for yourself. But Nick, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Hi, Cyrus. How are you?
Hey, doing really good. Congratulations to you on the book. As I said, we'll be sharing with our audience a little bit later how they can get the book for themselves. But what has it been like for you, Nick, already? I know the book's only been out a little over a week, but what has it been like for you to already see the way that people are responding to it?
Oh, it's been great, actually, because, you know, we've had a lot of really good feedback on it, and people seem to really be relating to it. You know, it's an interesting thing how many people can relate to feeling like they're strangers in our own world. So.
Yeah. You know what I loved about it, Nick, when I initially read the book, and then, of course, when I was prepping for the segment, I thought, what a great way to get us to look at ourselves differently. And I think that's the brilliance of How to Pass as a Human, because you have someone who's not human, that being Zach, you know, kind of making his observations to others like him as to how we are. I mean, what was that like for you to almost give a commentary on mankind and where we are and how we're sometimes seen by others?
Well, I mean, you know, I've always sort of felt like an outsider myself, so a lot of the things that he's talking about in the book are kind of things just that I've always wondered about myself. So, you know, a few people have asked me about trying to get inside an android's head, and honestly for me, I think it was easier than it might be for some other people. You know, it's just, it's always, another thing I was doing a lot for the book was actually also looking up real sociology studies and seeing some of the more interesting ways that we can actually show that we fool ourselves all the time. There's pretty concrete evidence that, like, for example, people always think that they're the most moral person in their immediate group of friends, which, of course, can't be true for everybody, right? So,
right.
But somehow everybody believes that. And so it was a combination of just personal experience and then also doing some research.
Yeah, and I think that the fun of it is, too, that you made Zach real. I mean, you gave him a storyline. You allow him to have someone who he cared about in the book. We all can relate to that. But then, of course, also the complications of even being not human. You know, he's able to see that, you know, maybe being human is not, as good as some might seem. I want to talk about the process, though, because it really, I mean, I think this book, How to Pass as Human, Nick, is a perfect example of not only being able to draw on the strengths of others, but also the importance of strength in numbers. You were able to work with some talented people in helping to bring this to life. I mentioned the marriage of the words, you know, then the illustrations. I mean, what was that like for you to have these individuals who were able to take what you had inside your head and help you bring it to life in a visual way?
It was really cool. I mean, it was a lot of work, a lot of back and forth, and you know, there were three different artists involved because, you know, one person was doing the illustrations for the illustrated novel part, and another person was doing the infographics, and then another person did the cover. And fortunately, all three of them were great and really talented. And, you know, it is an interesting process of iterating on, you know, sketches and giving feedback and then, you know, reworking drawings and seeing how they turn out, you know. And then there's also a colorist involved too, which then also adds another layer on top of the illustrations. So there were five of us total who created the images, all the images for the book.
Amazing. amazing. And I think it's great the way it's all kind of come together. You know, I think the other thing that came to me when I was reading the book, Nick, was the fact that, you know, as I said, Zach has a story, but also Zach has a desire to help others to fit in. I mean, do you think also, as you were sharing with us, you know, as you had your own moments, I think a lot of us have, of not feeling as though we fit in, do you think that's part of why Zach wanted to make this effort to make it easier for others?
For sure, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, he's trying to, like we all are, he's asking the big questions about his existence. You know, where did I come from and why am I here, you know? And he's really struggling with that. And when he sits down to write the book, he thinks that his life is going to be over in about 30 minutes or an hour. So he doesn't want to lose all of that knowledge that he's acquired. So he's just trying to pass it on to the next generation, as it were. I mean, in some ways, it's like a parent wanting to pass things on to their child, you know, to the generations that come afterwards, you know, and not have what he's learned lost, which again, I think is you know, a very human thing to do, but also something that I think we can kind of imagine any intelligence, any sentient thing, you know, any artificial intelligence would also want to do that if it felt like it was going to terminate. It wouldn't want everything that it had learned to be lost.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that it definitely is something we all can benefit from those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online. You're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome to our program today Nick Kelman. We're talking to him not only about the release of his book, How to Pass as Human, but also what it was like for him to help bring this book to life and the character Zach that we're able to meet in the book. Of course, I'm calling him Zach. Many, of course, will realize him as Android Zero. You know, the other side of this, though, is Andrea. And her role in this journey for him. I mean, how did she come about for you, Nick?
Well, I think that's, you know, I mean, I think everybody would kind of agree probably. I mean, people don't agree about a lot of things, but the idea that love is the most important part of the human experience, I think most people would agree with that. So, you know, it was really important to create that dynamic and create a situation for him where he could start to experience those sorts of feelings. And also, just to be clear too, like, I think there's a lot of cliches about androids and robots, which in fiction and you know, one of them being that they don't have feelings. And just like, just for the listeners out there, like, Zach as an android is a little different because he is created so that he can experience human feelings as well. So it was really important that he feel, that he experience the whole range of human emotions, from hate to envy to anger to love. So the love interest was a really important part of the story, and, you know, without giving anything away, like, obviously she plays other roles as well in the story. Yeah, so, I mean, it was really making sure that he, as a character, had a rounded experience in the world.
Yeah. One of the interesting things, observations that Zach makes in the book has to do with something that I think we as individuals, we as human beings, sometimes struggle with. It's day 21 in the book, but it's self-destruction, self-deception, and hypocrisy. And this is what Zach says to others. While much human behavior is derived from improving their survival chances, humans are self-destructive frequently enough that it is important you understand how to emulate this function. And what I thought was so interesting about that, the reason why I wanted to bring it up, Nick, is because, unfortunately, that is the truth for us in many ways. You look at the news, you would think that we just have no control, that we're just, you know, intent on, you know, destroying others and destroying ourselves. What was it like for you to not only to share in Zach's voice, but to be able to, in many ways, I mean, to put into words what is the truth for so many people?
That was a really tough chapter to work on because, you know, obviously if anybody had easy answers about why some of us are self-destructive sometimes, I mean, I think everybody goes through a phase like that, you know, at some point in their life. And there are lots of different reasons for it. So trying to distill it down to something that an android could understand was definitely difficult. And a lot of that chapter is kind of superficial things, so it's sort of more about how to appear self-destructive, but not necessarily understanding where that comes from emotionally.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, again, that's what makes it so interesting. So, you know, for yourself, I mean, take us into, I mean, as the creator of Zach, of the creator of this world that Zach is, you know, sharing with us. I mean, what was it like for you now, of course, Nick, to not only go from having the idea to now knowing now a week out that people around the world are able to read this and to enjoy it?
Well, it's awesome. I mean, having this is my fourth book, and I'm not even sure what number narratives that I've written, because you know I write screenplays as well. But it's always amazing. I mean, when you get feedback from people, especially individuals who read the book and find you on Facebook or whatever it is, and tell you that they related to something or thought something was funny, it's great. It's always great. To know that something you created meant something to somebody else. It's like, you know, it's the ultimate high for, you know, for any artist, for any writer, anybody who creates anything, I guess, you know?
Yeah. I think that is the great thing. I'm glad that you mentioned the other creative outlets that you have, Nick, because I think, you know, that again will be the thing that really, you know, connects with people. You know, has part of the joy of your life been that you've not only been able to have these creative pursuits, but then to be able to see them being shared? You know, as you said, you know, you have other ways other than books you've been able to do that. But I think for a lot of people, they feel as though, you know, it's, you know, I may have this idea, this thought, but am I really going to be able to do anything with it? I mean, has part of the joy been that you not only have these ideas, but you've been able to find an audience for them?
Oh, of course. I mean, I feel incredibly lucky that I've had that opportunity. I mean, you know, I've always sort of thought that, like, honestly, probably the greatest works of art and creation in the history of mankind are probably sitting in drawers and attics. You know, it's like it takes so much luck. Like everything has to be so aligned so perfectly for you to be able to have the opportunity to have a book published or to, you know, sell a TV show or to, you know, even, you know, get a song out there, even getting a song on iTunes, you know, it's like,
right.
So it's, you know, I feel very lucky and to have had that chance, for sure. And I guess, you know, for people that are wondering about it, you know, all you can do is try to create the best thing you can create and then hope that, you know, you're lucky that you need, you know, there's always luck. There's always luck involved in getting your stuff out there. So,
yeah, and I think that is it. Did it surprise you or did you know going into Zach's story, Nick, that he would have the drama in his life that he would have? Because, I mean, for some people would say, hey, if you're not human, you shouldn't have the problems that we as humans have. But Zach definitely, as you said, you know, he's not your regular android, so of course he has those. Did you know going in that was going to be the case, or was that a part of the story that evolved as Zach evolved?
No, I knew it going in because I really wanted to write a story about, you know, there's so much in the news these days about artificial intelligence, and I feel like some of it is not, realistic in the sense that I definitely feel like a lot of what makes us human is our experience of the world. You know, when a child is born, they have certain things are pre-programmed, but a lot of stuff, a lot of the way that they end up being an adult comes from what happens to them in their environment and how they move through the world. And so the idea that experience in the world is such an important part of forming a personality and forming an intelligence was really important. I mean, it's kind of a core of the story, is the idea that you can't separate. You can't just create an all-knowing, all-feeling organism from nothing, that it has to have a life experience in order to become a person. That was kind of the core theme of what I wanted to write about. So that was definitely from the beginning. The path that it takes, the path that his life takes, and the specifics of the story and the twists and turns, those kind of grew as I was writing. But certainly that was the goal at the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing I want to, so that people won't think that this book is just all doom and gloom, as I sometimes seem to make things out to be, Nick, I want to talk about humor. That is one of the things that Zach shares. And he said this, and you see it through him, humor is one of the most difficult elements of passing as human. even humans do not fully understand humor, and many prominent humans have been suddenly ostracized from their social groups simply for having a differing opinion about what is considered funny. And I thought, you know what? How timely is that? I mean, it is so true that sometimes we don't even, I mean, that even becomes a source of contention for people. What was that like for you, I mean, Nick, even reflecting on yourself? I mean, what was it like for you to kind of, through Zach, to be able to share that, that even humor has kind of become even something that has been policed?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, it's something that I feel strongly about right now. It's like we've become such a PC society. It's difficult for people. Like, I think we've gotten to a point where freedom of expression is definitely being jeopardized by people being overly concerned about what's funny and what's not funny. But I'm glad that you also mentioned that the book's funny, because I do, I mean, I think actually primarily it's a comedy and it is intense. It's dark humor, but it is definitely humor. So,
right.
Yeah. I mean, so yeah, it was just something that's, I guess, again, something that's personally important to me, was just to point out that, like, what's funny to one person isn't funny to somebody else, and vice versa. And that's never going to be the case, you know, like,
yeah.
Nobody's, you know, you put four people in a room, there's going to be one person at least who thinks that something's funny that nobody else does. So, and that's always going to be the way it is, I think.
I think that is so true. Another topic that Zach covers in the book, we won't talk about it here, is breaking rules, even referencing the Ten Commandments, and some great illustrations there to go along with that. You know, at the end of the day, it has to be for you, you know, and you were even talking about this in the beginning of the conversation, Nick, about, you know, already how it feels to have this book out. I mean, is that part of the joy and part of the reason why you write, is to know that something that you write may touch someone you never know and give them that moment that they need to be either to laugh a little bit, to enjoy something for a moment, or to at least have that bit of escape?
For sure. I mean, a lot of the stuff I write, I think, is more about escapism. This, to me, was maybe more about, you know, if I'm lucky, like, will make people think about their own lives or the way that we are towards each other just even a little bit differently, that would be awesome. I mean, that would be the ultimate compliment, would be for somebody to read the book and be like, wow, I never thought about that, or I never saw things that way, or that is really true. Like, that, I think it's, you know, it's that kind of book, trying to turn a mirror on human nature as much as possible.
Right. Well, I think you've definitely accomplished that. Again, everyone, Nick Kelman has been our guest for this segment. Great conversation with you today, Nick, as we've been discussing the book. Again, the title of the book is How to Pass as Human. It's available now through our friends at Amazon.com, so you guys can head over there and get it for yourself. Nick, how can our audience stay connected with you and keep up what's coming up next for you?
They can go to my website, which is nkelman.com. They can just Google me, which is Nick Kelman without a K. They can go to the book website, which is howtopassashuman.com, and they can find me on Facebook too easily. So, I'm all over the web. So, thank you so much for having me on and for being so generous about the book. I'm really glad you enjoyed it so much.
Hey, look, glad to do it. I definitely did. I'll be writing my review on Amazon.com. Definitely invite anyone else who's already read the book to do the same thing. I have to thank our good friend Julia Drake for setting up this conversation with us for today. And, Nick, it goes without saying, you're welcome back here anytime.
Thank you very much, Cyrus. Take care.
Hey, you do the same thing. And we thank you, our listening audience, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. For those joining us on the radio dial, you all stay where you are. There's more Conversations Live to come for you. For those joining us online, though, we are going to lose you. So if you came in late and you missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media friends at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Just click on that link, listen to the show completely for free, and even share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.